Okay, Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23, as well as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, will be our text for what we will be looking at from God's Word this evening. Two Wednesdays ago, I began a series of messages which I've entitled Precious Prayer Principles and Promises. Please believe me that it is not my intention to be melodramatic, but realizing how uncertain life is, I know there is always the possibility that today might be my last opportunity to preach for you. As I was thinking about that, I considered the question, if this were my last opportunity to preach to my beloved church family, what message would I want to leave with them? The answer came back to me. I would want to exhort them to know the Lord, trust Him, and make prayer a top priority in their lives. Although I trust the Lord will allow me many more years of life and will continue to give me the privilege of preaching God's word to you, if this were to be my last message to you, I want to encourage you to know Him, trust Him, and spend much time with Him in prayer. So, with that in view, let's read our text, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him." Now, Mark, is one of the gospel writers that is very brief and doesn't explain much. And so there's a lot of things you have to sort of take for granted knowing the other gospel accounts. Okay, so here, this is not, promoting the power of positive thinking. All right, do you get that? All right, obviously, you don't doubt in your heart that God can do this, not that you can just make it happen by saying it. Okay, so just keep that in mind. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible. Possible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. God promises that he will do mighty things in answer to prayer, the prayer of faith. By faith, we mean utter trust. In fact, he tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that without that kind of faith, it is impossible to please him. And as I reminded you this past Wednesday, God has already revealed his will and his word, the Bible. Our responsibility is to read and study his word in order to know what his will is, especially in the matter of knowing what to pray for. So, as we are going to see from God's word this evening, if you want to do his will and are committed to learning it and living it, then you can ask for those things that are according to his will. And know that he will give you what you pray for. So God wants to give his children an abundance of blessings and longs to show his mighty power on our behalf in answer to our prayers. As God promises in Psalm 81, verse 10, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." One of my favorite verses, and I've mentioned that before. "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." That's God speaking here. God is not reluctant to answer. He's very willing to answer above all that we can ask or think. He longs for his children to start trusting him and start asking in faith. Notice where the faith that God will answer our prayer originates and finds its strength. The Lord Jesus gave an important command before his promise to answer the prayer of faith. He stated it this way: "Have faith in God." Let's make sure we know what faith means here. As used in Scripture, faith means trust or dependence. In fact, faith translates the noun pistis in the Greek. Believe translates the verb pistuo. So you can see they're related, they have the same root. The kind of faith the Bible means here requires a relationship. So having faith in God requires a relationship with God. How is this relationship begun? Well, I think you know through being born into God's family at the moment of salvation. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." By the way, that word even is in italics, which means it's not in the original. So you could read it this way, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Let's talk about the same people. Okay. Then John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He won't get in." So we see that Christ commands us to have faith in God, and we understand that faith means to trust in or depend on someone. We also understand that faith in God requires a relationship with God, which begins by being born again. So this relationship grows through obedience to God. By the way, obeying God is the Bible's definition of loving God. Do you remember that? When we talk about loving each other, we don't show it by obeying necessarily, unless you're a child, in relation to your parents. But in relation to one another, we're not talking about obeying, and that's how I show I love you. But with God, it is. There's no other way we can show God that we love him. And so this is why he says that in his word. So if you're not obeying God's word, you are not growing in your relationship with him, period. And you are not going to be able to truly trust God to answer the kind of prayers Jesus encourages you to pray and promises to answer. Let's look at John chapter 14, if you will. Just open your Bible if you're not already there, John chapter 14 and verse 15, and then we'll skip to verse 21. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and in verse 15, he says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." In other words, if you have the right relationship with me, you truly are looking at me as you ought to, then obedience to what I've commanded is it just automatic, it's logical, it's natural. In verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." So having faith in God touches on three areas. First of all, his person, who he really is, what he is like, what he loves, what he hates, what he has said to you in his word. You cannot entrust your life to someone you do not know. Think about it for a minute, because that is what you need to do in your relationship with God. Is he truly your loving heavenly Father? Do you have that awareness of that glorious relationship with him? Not is he some kind of heavenly grandfather or uncle that lives far away in another universe, is just as far away in his relationship with you. Let me illustrate it for you this way. When I was a child living in Chile, South America, and then in Kenya, East Africa, the existence of my grandparents seemed more like a bedtime story than a reality to me. Why? Because I never saw them for 4 years, okay? Other side of the world, almost. However, when we finally came back from the field on furlough to Pennsylvania and New Jersey, then I got to see them. Well, my grandmother lived in New Jersey. My grandparents lived in Pennsylvania. I got to see them, hear them talk, got to know their personalities, everything. Even the fact that my grandmother Jacobson had some kind of disease that caused her foot to just kind of shape like this. And so it made me sick when I drove in the car with her because the car would, go like this. And anyway, that just, I knew all about her. I realized my mom told me, oh, well, it's because she's got this. And I can't remember now what it is. But anyway, so I got to know their personalities. I got to know that my grandfather had a real sense of humor. And he had this real interesting laugh. He would go, like that, you know. I don't know what you call that, a wheeze laugh, anyway. And my grandmother Fawcett was not really, didn't have that great a sense of humor. One time, my grandfather, as a joke, got a spoon that looked like it was silver, and he got her to, you know, put it by her place setting. So when she had a cup of hot tea, she would use that spoon to stir it, and it just melted because it was made out of sugar. You know how those little sugar balls look like they're metal BBs, you know? But well, that's what that spoon was like. And he was just wheezing away his laughter, and she was not amused. Okay, so I got to know my grandparents and their personalities. So it got to be a reality when I finally got to interact with them, get to know them. So the point here is, do you know the Lord? Have faith, having faith in God involves not only his person, but also his presence. And this is closely related to his person, because you cannot be truly aware of his presence unless and until you have taken the time to get to know him in his word and in your private time of prayer, talking to him alone. Where do you get to know God? Where's the only true description of God? Okay, Felicia pointed to the Bible. Absolutely. That's the only place. You don't get to know him by dreams. You don't get to know him by looking at the clouds, seeing the shape of the clouds, or getting a hint that way. No, by hearing voices. No, you get it by reading God's word. He describes himself to us in his word so that we can get to know him. And as you spend time with him in prayer, you're responding to him about what you've learned about him from his word. So you'll find that instead of talking to a someone very far away on what may feel like a one-way radio transmitter, where you haven't got a clue as to whether the other person is even tuned into your frequency or cares about what you're saying, instead, because you know him, you have the confidence that he hears, he knows, he cares, and he's speaking to your heart and working already on answering your deepest and most difficult needs. You feel his presence by faith. Because of what you know about his person, his character, his trustworthiness, his love, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is vitally interested and involved with your life, your burdens, your joys, your needs. You know that he is right there beside you listening, because he's promised you in his word that that's what he's doing. Can you think of a verse that tells you that? Someone tell me a verse, just quote it. You may not know the reference. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, so there are promises in God's word that tell you what he's like, what he does. So, as your mind is soaking in the word of God each day, he then brings portions of his word to your thoughts, just like he brought that phrase to my mind right now, okay? And to your mind, I hope. Okay? He'll bring these portions of his word to your thoughts in answer to your questions, in response to your cries. As you meditate on God himself after reading his word, it is then that you will find him filling your heart with his love and his presence. By the way, how do you approach your reading of God's word? I'm indebted to Dr. Jim Berg for this personal anecdote from his video series, Quieting a Noisy Soul. We haven't watched that in a while. Might be time to watch it again. But anyway, when Dr. Jim Berg was a child, if you were watching it, I think all of you who are here in person have watched it. When he was a child, he lived on a farm. And every once in a while, their family would drive to their grandparents' house. And one of the things he enjoyed there was the fact that his grandmother always had cookies baked and waiting for her grandkids to enjoy. How many remember that? Okay. Dr. Berg mentioned that when he was a child, he loved visiting grandma for her cookies. But when he got older, he loved visiting her for herself. And that is a picture of our relationship with God. At first, we come to Him in prayer for our needs. But as we grow spiritually mature, then we come to Him in prayer for fellowship with Him, not just asking for our needs to be met. By the way, you never quit asking for your needs to be met, okay? So don't think that somehow when you graduate, you can't ask Him for anything anymore. No, the point is that now it's a fuller relationship, a more mature relationship. So are you aware of God's presence when you pray? Having faith in God involves not only His person and His presence, but also His power. Becoming more firm in your trust in God's person and presence will then bring you to an awareness of His mighty power to do today what He has done through His prophets in the Old Testament and through His Son and His apostles in the New Testament. Your growing relationship with and closeness to your Heavenly Father will bring tremendous assurance of not only His power, but also His delight to answer your prayer. Now your prayer will become the prayer of faith that James mentions and that our Lord Jesus describes in our text this evening. It's not only that, but as you look to Him with eyes of faith, He will fill you with His power to work in and through you His perfect will. Notice these glorious promises of His power to work in us. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read verse 17 through 19. Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 19. We're going to stick in Ephesians for a while, so just keep it open there. Ephesians 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. And then chapter 3, verse 20. Notice we're talking about the promises of His power working in us. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Is this power coming from ourselves or from God? Okay, so keep in mind, what power are we talking about? God's power. Okay? Wow, I love this. When this verse is filled with superlatives, just makes you perk up your attention here. Who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. So the point there is, can you ask God for too much? Nope. It's just limited by your faith and your relationship with Him. Now, turn to chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. King James says the power of His might. The point is, it's the Greek word that means humongous amount of power and strength, depending on whether it's a person or a thing. So you'll find that once you have faith in God Himself, having the faith to ask Him for great things is a natural part of your daily relationship with Him. Therefore, if you're having trouble asking God for seemingly impossible things, after all, that is exactly the example the Lord Jesus gave in our text this evening. Then spend all your time and focus on renewing your relationship with God Himself. Andrew Murray, a missionary pastor in South Africa in the 1800s, in his excellent devotional book called With Christ in the School of Prayer, put it this way: we seek God's gifts, but God wants to give us Himself first. A heart full of God has power for the prayer of faith. Take time to let your soul exercise and express its faith in the infinite one in holy worship. As he shares himself with and takes possession of you, the prayer of faith will crown your faith in God. What he's saying here is that the prayer of faith, genuine prayer of faith, is a result of your relationship with the Lord, your trust in him, your growing knowledge of him and what he has promised you. So prayer of faith crowns your faith in God. If God delays his answer to your prayer, he undoubtedly does it in order to lead you to spend time with him, getting to know the giver before you receive the gift. Remember we talked about why does God sometimes delay your answer to prayer? Maybe he's getting you to spend time with him as the giver before he finally gives you the gift. I think of examples of our children. We had four kids, and they were, you know, bang, 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 year and a half apart, 2 years apart. And so there was a time there where there were lots of little kids in the house. And I remember just laughing sometimes with Brenda at their responses to things. They would come running in, you know, the house and, hey, Mom, Mommy, can we have this, whatever? And so Brenda would hand them something and they'd say, bye, you know, like no fellowship time at all there. You know, it was just, they got what they wanted and gone. Okay. That's immaturity. But as they grew older, then they wanted to fellowship. They wanted to talk. I remember that Eileen would stay up till all hours wanting to talk with us, just talking. And Lenora was an early to bed person. She just got tired at 7 or 8 o'clock at night and just said, I want to go to bed. We said, okay, you know. But as they got older, they wanted to fellowship more. And so think about that in relation to your relationship with the Lord. I would encourage you to just think about what we've talked about this evening and really consecrate yourself to grow in your relationship with the Lord. Really start to get to know his person, his presence, and see him demonstrate his power in your life.